This week on the BOAG World Show, we sum up what we've discussed this season and look at where to go from here. This week's show is sponsored by Balsamic and Full Story. Welcome to the BOAG World Show, the podcast about all aspects of conversion rate optimization, user experience, and digital strategy. My name is Paul BOAG, and joining me on this week's show is Marcus Lillington. Hello, Lillington.
Hello, Paul. That one's never going to get tired, is it?
No, it just comes out like that now. It's just, okay. You've got such a cool name. I like your name. It's better than BOAG or BOAG. It's more lyrical, isn't it? Lillington.
Because it's got Lyricklington in it.
Yeah, something like that.
I think that's what it is. No, I think your name's quite cool. It's short and to the point.
I hate my name. It's aggressive, grumpy-ass name, isn't it? Bogue. Or Boag.
That's all right. Lillington sounds like a charming English village. It is a charming village, English village cat in the chat room. There
is
you
it
go.
Really?
Two villages called Lillington, yes. And you'd think that I came from, I'm descended from...
Yeah, surely.
You know, Lord of the Manor stock, because I have villages named after me.
Excellent. No, it's often the opposite. It's often that you were orphaned, or one of your ancestors was orphaned in the village. Because there's a lot of people called Blanford, which were people that... had lost their parents in Blanford, and so their surname became the town. So there you go.
My dad, being as he was, decided that he'd track us down.
Oh, yeah.
And we come from a place in Dorset.
Oh, really?
Near Lulworth Cove called something Major. Something, I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, yeah. I went there a couple of years ago, a lovely part of the world, to go and have a drive around and see the I'm trying to read. Stop reading the chat room, Marcus, and see the beaches and all that kind of stuff. And we went to this, went to the churchyard in this village. Oh, what's it called? Anyway, yeah, it's near Lulworth Cove, something major, if you want to find it. And the graveyard is full of Lillingtons, and there is a Moses Lillington.
How cool
is that?
Yeah, people that are called Moses, Noah, or Jesus, I think are the best people on the planet. You know, you get a lot in Africa. You get a lot of people that are called that kind of thing. So, yeah.
Well, anyway, they were all kind of shepherding stock. So, how cool Moses actually was, we will never know.
Probably not that cool. Not really. Not if he lived in Dorset and he looked after sheep.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like my ancestry. That's all Viking. You know, that's a lot more grr, isn't it?
Yeah, that's my wife's as well. Her maiden name was Snart, S-N for Nigel, A-R-T-T, which is a Scandi name.
Well, I mean, BOAG, or Bogue, as it should be pronounced, is mainly a Scottish name. Anyway, that's all beside the point. Nobody cares. It was really funny.
People there was like all that stuff.
Well, it was funny. We were talking about this on Twitter, and somebody posted... here's a top pro tip for podcasters. If you've got a hour-long show where, you know, the first 10 minutes is waffle, you actually need a 50-minute show. But then several people responded by saying, well, actually, we really like the waffle on BOAG World. I do not know why. Yeah. I mean, why anyone knows...
He wasn't referring to us specifically.
No, he was just
saying generally, and then people, defenders of the show, came in and said... nice things about it.
Yeah,
and
because there's nothing more interesting than us talking about where our names came from.
It is a little bit interesting. It's meant to be like a fireside chat in the pub.
Yeah, this is the kind of conversation you'd have after three or four pints, isn't it, really? Yes, I'm a Viking. Rah! I would have probably been running around the pub at this point with a big axe or something. I tell you the other thing you should do, I always do after I've had a few pints, is I always start ranting uncontrollably about things, which it actually sits very well with this podcast, because we always, I often am just ranting. And I, do you want to know my latest rant? Do you know, I've decided, just to be clear, first of all, I was very anti-Brexit, right? I thought Brexit was a terrible idea. I thought the European Union was great. Mm-hmm. I have now reached the point where I think Brexit is a brilliant idea, he says with his tongue firmly in his cheek, right? And I'll tell you mm-hmm. why. Because bloody European Union, right? Yeah, people are going careful in the chat room. Because the bloody European Union has ruined the mobile web. Am I the only one that is just sick of closing bloody privacy pop-ups on mobile devices? And this, the number of websites you cannot even use now, because there's all these, you know, agree to our privacy policy, agree to our you know, our cookie policy. And there are all these frigging pop-up boxes. On the desktop, you can just kind of ignore them. But on a mobile, you have to close them all in order to be able to see the frigging content. It just really annoys me.
Well, quite a lot of American sites you can't get to at all.
Exactly. Yeah. Although Bob has made a very good counterpoint in the chat room, which is he really welcomes the large mobile roaming charges when we leave the EU. So at the moment, you could go anywhere in the European Union and just use your data allowance like it's at home, right? Which is just brilliant. And they've only just brought that in. Right, and then we're leaving bloody European Union. But they're saying at the moment that they're not going to change that, so we will see.
Yeah, but I'm off to America again next week, and my service provider gives me full access for £3 a day, which is quite a lot of money, but it's only if you're only there for a week. It's like, whatever. So it's not like it used to be when you come back to a £500 bill and that kind of thing.
No, they've kind of, yeah. I mean, you can also, of course, you can just buy a pay-as-you-go SIM card when you're out there, or if you're on the Three network. The Three network's very good because they, in America, you can just use it like at home. So it's quite good in America. Hmm. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, I do, but I just pay £3 a day. But yeah, whatever.
Talking about pub side chats and our general drunkenness behaviour, we're going to have this coming year, or this coming Christmas even, a BOAG World virtual Christmas party. Did we mention this on the show last week? I can't remember whether we were recording it.
We did. Yeah, we did, yeah.
So I've just,
maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because we talk a little bit in the... So as you've gathered, we record these shows live now. And if you ever want to join us for a live show, the best thing you can do is go to the live page, where you can then subscribe to be notified when we're recording a show. And that's at crowdcast.io/BOAG World. And you can see upcoming shows and you can register for them and that kind of thing. So we've decided this year, instead of doing a Christmas podcast, okay, which feels a little bit lonely and sad, in my opinion, whenever we do it. It's like we have to do this kind of fake jolliness and you
cheers,
know, so
Paul.
Yeah, stuff. I thought it would be much better to actually use the live people, because we have these people that turn up for reason every frigging show, right? And they listen to us talk about this live. They're sitting there right now. There are people sitting watching two middle-aged white men just banging on about crap, right? So we decided this time we were going to create just get together in the chat room. We'll do a load of stuff. We'll have some guests. We'll do some games. Everybody has to bring their own drink at their various locations. So, you know, wherever you are, you've got to bring whatever you want to drink for your Christmas party, and maybe bring nibbles as well. You know, maybe make some jelly, or, you know, and we'll wear some, you know, kind of Christmas clothing and that kind of stuff. We'll have some music and jokes and that kind of stuff. And we'll just hang out together and we will have a virtual Christmas party, right? People from the Slack room, people that come and listen to the show live. But what we're not going to do is we're not going to record a podcast, right? So it's going to be a party, not a podcast, because if we try to turn it into a podcast too, it would be nonsensical. If you think the waffle is bad now, it would be so much worse if we were trying to do a Christmas party at the same time. We could have a shared Spotify playlist, someone's just suggested. Paul's just suggested in chat room. Brilliant idea. Let's do that. So if you want to attend that, it is now up and waiting for you to sign up to it, to RSVP, your invitation to our Christmas party. It's going to be on Tuesday, the 11th of December at 4 p.m. UK time. You can go to crowdcast.io/BoagWorld. To join us for that. I have no idea what we're going to do. We'll discuss it more in the Slack channel and work out what we do when I'm back from holiday next week. I think that's all I wanted to say about that. Yes. Marcus, do we have a thought for the day?
We do. I've done a proper thought for the day.
Okay.
So I want you all to be very serious and listen hard.
Is this going to be, so is it a religious one or is it a moral story?
It's more of a moral / political one. So interesting what you were talking about Brexit earlier.
Oh, you're going to talk about politics. All right. This is absolutely to do with web design, right, Marcus?
Nothing at all to do with web design. But there's always talk about kind of, you know, our community and mental health and all these things that surround work in general.
Yes.
And this is life in general, I suppose.
Okay.
And I've just been thinking about this quite a bit over the past kind of year or so. And other people have made comments similar to the one that I'm going to make. But as I'm going to make clear, this kind of message, saying this kind of message, will hopefully disseminate it further and more people will start to think in this way. So, anyway, right. Hope you're sitting comfortably.
Oh, dear. Is it going to be a long one?
It's fairly long, but not
okay.
That long. No,
that's all right.
A few minutes.
We've got time.
First thing, yeah. I live in a lovely part of the world. It's all leafy and there's hardly any trouble at all, ever. The only things to moan about are the traffic and property prices.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I have a very privileged existence.
Mm.
And all of this privilege and comfort and nice people that surround me have basically led me to living in a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
I originally said I was going to say in a liberal bubble, but that's not probably the case because I live in a rather sort of, it's all a bit old world Tory round here.
Yeah.
But then of those people that I know, they're actually liberals really. So maybe that is right to say that I live in this kind of liberal bubble. Certainly the term bubble is right. And I watch in horror at Trump's pathological lying and Farage's and that utter twerp Rees-Mogg. And I discuss this with my enlightened friends and we all shake our heads a lot.
Yeah.
I say things to myself along the lines of, how did this utter madness happen? People can't be that stupid, can they? Mm. And then I go back to my everyday business. That's it. And that's where I think I'm going wrong. Because Brexiteers, even Trump supporters, aren't stupid. Some are, of course they are, but you're going to find stupid people in any large group. Basically, we often make political choices out of A, what's the least worst of our options, you know, Hillary or Donald. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know what I think on that one, but a lot of people disagreed. Or B, what's the biggest wrecker to a system that we despise, i.e. if Cameron's telling me to vote Remain and I hate him, so I'm not going to do what he's telling me to do.
Mm.
So I believe that many people voted for Brexit as a protest. Mm. I think that they'll end up getting a double dose of what they hated in return for that, but that isn't the point. The point is people made a reasoned choice, if you like. I'm protesting against what I'm being told to do here. It wasn't just that it's a dumb thing, I'm just going to do that. So the point is here, people usually have a legitimate reason for making these kinds of choices, and we need to step outside of our cozy bubbles to try and understand what they are. Mm-hmm. We also need to engage in conversation, which is really hard, with people that we don't agree with, because if we don't, then I think society's divisions are only going to become greater.
Mm.
And the people in power, and when I say that, I'm meaning the media and controlling regimes, that kind of thing, and I'll leave you to think who you think fit into that group, want us divided. It keeps the power with them. Also, I live in a social media bubble. Facebook is really only my friends, which means I'm fed messages that I want to hear. And I'm sure if I was a staunch right-wing nationalist, then I'd get a lot of Daily Mail style stories in my feed, and that would make me feel good about myself. And this is the real dangerous thing. Basically, this kind of separation, like along we're being fed all the stuff that we want to hear, has enabled, to put it as plainly as possible, election results in first world countries to be changed by the dissemination of fake propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just think about that for a second.
Mm.
You know, Trump wouldn't have got in, I'm pretty sure to say, without that. So, back on the point, talking about people you don't agree with. Don't expect anyone to say, my goodness, I've been wrong all along. You're so right. No one's ever going to do that. What it's about, and this goes back to what I was saying at the start about me, I'm repeating what other people have already said here. It's about infusing thoughts and viewpoints from both sides of an argument so that we can all end up less divisive. Generally speaking, if the more people talk about these kind of things, then the more those kind of different opinions are going to be infused into the argument. Basically, talk to people you don't agree with on a bunch of stuff and do it on social media too. You can be impassioned about it, but you need to listen as well. And that's my thought for the day.
I think it's brilliant. There's a couple of things that sprung into my mind as you were talking there. One is the fact that it makes me deeply sad, especially the social media thing, because I remember right back at university when I was doing my final year dissertation, and I wrote my dissertation about the internet and about the web, which was a very new thing. And I presented this very utopian view of what the web could be, that it would allow people to connect with people they would normally never interact with, right?
Mm.
That you would know people from all around the world in all of these walks of life, you know, that national barriers would become nothing, right? Because I would know someone personally who lived in Iran. And so how could you feel this kind of national hatred when you knew people personally in Iran? And it saddens me so much that hasn't happened, that because of, you know, these filter bubbles and things like that, we don't get that broad kind of view. And actually, I think it is changing. I look at my son, and he plays games with people from all over the world, from all kinds of backgrounds. And actually, I think I have hope that his generation will have a broader view than you know, our generation has. But it is incredibly sad. And I think the other thing that jumped out in what you said is, it's not just a matter of you need to talk to people with other viewpoints. It's the fact that we need to do that in a civil and engaged way. Mm. I disagree, but that's okay. You're okay having an opinion that I disagree with.
I think, you know, that there's been an awful lot of kind of finger pointing at Brexiteers, Trump supporters, that is unfair.
Mm.
A lot of just dismissed.
Yeah.
And if you actually speak to people, I know some people who support both of those things, even the Trump thing, and there is reasoned thought behind it. It might not be right, but if you talk about that reasoned thought, then, and you keep it civil and you listen, you're not going to necessarily come to an agreement at the end of it, and minds are going to change, but it's just this idea of disseminating more thoughts and making it a kind of wider discussion is really important, because otherwise we're going to end up with just sort of two groups of people in the world, which is bad.
It's not just about politics either. It happens in absolutely everything. You know, people get offended and angry so easily now. You know, if you maybe express a different opinion over how gender inequality should be dealt with, or over, even down to stuff, even over things like content management systems. People seem to get really angry when you say that you don't like their content management system. It's like with this generation that gets offended and angry at the drop of a hat, and that just makes me really sad, if I'm honest. And I hope that we can do better than that. I hope it's just a phase that we're passing through. And this is why I love... Sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say, yes, the best thing that's been said in the last 5 minutes on this podcast is that your son doesn't seem to have the same kind of prejudices, I suppose.
I mean, the thing, when I look at him, not only is he... you know, got this very broad group of friends from lots of different backgrounds, and they're all united around killing one another in a game, you know? So it doesn't matter if they're Muslim, it doesn't matter if they're conservative, it doesn't matter if they're liberal or live in Georgia or, you know, wherever. None of that matters. They're united around, you know, playing this game together and killing each other, which is lovely. But also, he's got a much more mature attitude towards... you know, so if somebody is being trolling on the internet, he doesn't get angry at it. He just recognises, well, that's people are dumb on the internet. You know, people say things they don't mean. And it just washes over him. And it kind of, while with our generation, it's this reactive thing of, oh, we've got to fight the injustice of what this dumbass person has just said. And actually, I think that it polarizes again, which is what you're saying. You know, it forces people to either end of the spectrum. So it's, I hope you're right. I hope it's path. And the final thing, just to bring it back to web design again, is the other reason for doing this, the other reason for getting out of your bubble for interacting with these range of people, is that that's going to inform the designs that you produce. It's going to inform the products that we build. You know, who's out there building web apps for Trump supporters, right? And it might think, well, they don't deserve good apps. Mm. Well, they do. You know, they're you know, they have lives as well. They're, you know, anyway. Bah! Back to the middle ground, I say.
Yeah, anyway. Exactly. Yeah, what's wrong with a bit of middle ground?
Exactly. And what's wrong with just showing every human being, no matter how big a douchebag they are, a little bit of courtesy? Anyway, let's move on from that. You really got me going with that. Yeah, good cheer for. I'm glad you did it, my Marcus, because, you know, it is all informs the world that we live in and the world we operate in, and the fact that the tech industry is by default very liberal in its thinking. It's like you could be whatever you want, liberals say. You could be gay, you can be transsexual, you can be, you know, black, white, doesn't matter. But you can't be a Trump supporter, or you can't be a Brexiteer, you know? Right, anyway, let's move on from that. Let's talk about Balsamic. I'm sorry, Balsamic, whether you've got to follow that. It's a bit rubbish, isn't it, really? Yes, and now buy Balsamic after we've just been ranting about how shit the world is. And a huge thanks to the guys at Balsamic. I mean, they've been supporting this podcast year on year now. You know, we wouldn't be, you know, since I've gone independent from Headscape, I can tell you, if it wasn't for Balsamic, I wouldn't still be doing this podcast. They've been an absolutely huge support. Thank them. I cannot thank them enough. And they're such lovely people as well. But also, you know, they're giving so much back to the community just generally. I mean, they've got some great teaching material. They're always producing stuff, putting stuff out there. If you want to see some of the stuff that they're doing, check out balsamic.com/learn. And basically, if you've got a client or a stakeholder that you want to engage more in the process, or who you want to help them express their ideas in something that isn't just, no, I don't like that, then get them to check out Balsamic, because Balsamic is such an easy tool for them to use. You can find out more by going to balsamic.cloud. You can get a 30-day free trial of their wireframing tool, their collaborative wireframing tool. And then once you've had your 30-day free trial, if you then sign up, if you use the code BOAGWORLD alongside your billing information, you'll get another 3 months for free. So do check them out, because I really do appreciate their involvement. Right, should we talk a bit about web design? Who knew that we should discuss such things on the show? I want to kind of summarize, really, this season, because this is the last episode of the season. So I just want to kind of really kind of summarize it and maybe talk a little bit about next steps that we can take. So this season, we've been looking at conversion rate optimization, which, again, is yet another topic which has got a lot of polarized opinion over. That, you know, you see loads of posts that are very critical of people who use dark patterns and are saying, you know, it's unethical and throwing around these kinds of words. But actually, I think if we talk about how we build websites and how we try and persuade people to take action, when we talk about things like dark patterns, we need to understand that the reason people are using dark patterns is because they're under enormous pressure to increase the conversion rates on their sites. And we should have a little bit of sympathy with them and actually show them there are better ways, and actually also help them to make the case in their organization for not using these kinds of techniques. So when I talk about dark patterns and how they're a bad thing, I talk about how they're bad for business, not unethical, because you can't just make an ethical argument within an organization and not actually, you know, back that up with some kind of business reality in it as well. And you can't just say this is shit without giving people an alternative, right? So dark patterns are, in my opinion, a dead end for long-term business growth. And we talked about this previously in the show. We talked about how they put the customer on the defensive. And one of the most important things you need if you want to persuade people to take action is trust, right? So as soon as you start using dark patterns, you are putting the customer on the defensive. You're also going to end up damaging your brand and how your brand is perceived, because people, you know, if I talk to you about booking.com, for example, we all know the kind of thing that they do to kind of manipulate you into booking. And the fact that we all know that, it all gives us a bad impression of companies like that. It also reduces your customers, the long-term value of your customers. Yes, dark patterns work in the short term. They get people to convert, instantly, but you won't get them coming back to you again and again and again. You won't get that lifetime value out of them. And they have hidden costs that you don't always see. Obviously, there's hidden costs in marketing of having to constantly win new customers. There's hidden costs in processing returns when people get buyer's remorse afterwards, and also hidden support costs as well. So actually, dark patterns are not the way to go. And that's what we talked about right at the beginning of this season. So then you got to say, well, if not that, then what? You know, what are the alternatives? In my opinion, we need to be focusing more as organizations on how people make decisions, understanding the process by which people decide to act, whether it be signing up for a newsletter, whether it be, purchasing a product, a contact form, whatever, right? And in particular, the areas we need to be looking at is reducing cognitive load, all right? The more cognitive load somebody has, the more they're having to think, the worse the experience will be, and the less likely they are to convert. They're gonna miss key calls to action. They're gonna encounter all kinds of issues with your website. They're gonna feel worse about it. They're gonna think it's worse. You know, they're gonna be put in a bad mood. All of these things have a negative impact on the conversion rate. So reduce cognitive load through simplification, through all the things that we've talked about in this season. Then we also need to be helping people with choice paralysis, right? There are so many options that are presented to us these days, right? You know, we've got the whole, you know, every product on the planet available in our pocket, you know, which is a terrifying thought in terms of choice paralysis. So there's a lot that we can do to help people make informed and good decisions. We also need to be matching people's mental models and the way they think. This is such a big issue. Now, the example that I gave when we were talking about this on the show is that idea of booking a holiday. That, you know, when you book a holiday, you kind of know you want to go sometime in the summer holiday, right? You know that you maybe want to go to a city with a bit of culture, okay? And that you can go for a week, and this is your budget. Right. Yet when you go to a booking website, the first thing it says is, where do you want to go and what dates do you want to travel? None of which are a part of your mental model. None of the those aren't the things that you know. You know your budget. You know roughly when you want to go. You know roughly the kind of place you want to go. So we need to get better at supporting people's mental models. I'll give you another example of this, actually. I'm working with a company at the moment who sell bricks, right? And one of the services they offer, I know, weird thing to sell, is a brick matching service. So if you've got a house and you want to build an extension, you want the bricks to be the same, right? So your mental model is, I've got this brick, here is my brick in my hand, I want a load more bricks like that, right? But when you go to this particular website, the first thing it says is, we offer a brick matching service. Well, I just want more bricks like this. That doesn't match. And then you go into it, and the first thing it asks is a load of personal detail. It doesn't allow me to show you my brick and say, this is the brick I want, you know? So that's, what are you laughing at, Marcus? That makes perfect sense.
I don't know. It just sounds wrong, Paul.
What? Anyway. So
I'm in a dark mood today.
You obviously are. The other thing we need to be doing is reducing risk. We talked a lot about that on the season as well, working hard to mitigate the kind of objections that people have. You know, are you going to spam me? What are you going to do with my personal details? Is it secure? All of those kinds of things. You know, what if I don't like the product? But really at the heart of a lot of this is about building trust. Trust between yourself, you as the company and your customers. And that really comes down to offering an outstanding customer service. But in all of this, right, if you took on every point, everything that I've talked about in this season, and you applied all of those principles, you may still not succeed. If you're not testing, if you're not passing this by real users, if you're not taking the time to get to know those users, stop guessing and start using data to make these decisions. So it's been, a really interesting season. It's a subject I'm really passionate about. You know, I've created the masterclass at boagworld.com/masterclass about this. I'm also going to write a book about it. And it all comes down to the fact that we don't need to resort to dark patterns and things like that. There are better ways to increase our conversion. I want to present that positive message that there are better ways of succeeding in this kind of area. Right. Enough. Yay. Ranting. That turned into a bit of a kind of preach session, didn't it? I need a soapbox to stand on.
It's become a bit like that this whole show, really, isn't it? But there you go.
It has. It's one of those episodes. But, you know, I've got no time for, it's unethical, because that just makes everybody feel guilty and, you know, doesn't actually achieve anything, does it? Anyway, let's talk about our second sponsor, talking about testing and understanding your users. Got to talk about Full Story, haven't we? That again, why these people keep coming back season after season to support us is humbling, really. And it shows that there are a lot of great apps out there that are dedicated not just to advertising and winning people, but actually to give back to the community. Because let's face it, I know damn well that these companies won't have got a direct return on investment for the money that they've put in sponsoring this show, right? If I'm frank, there is a big degree of them just doing it because they like, you know, supporting the show, and that's great. In fact, you know, I've had I've had talking to some sponsors that have said, look, we've done so well out of the web community, we just want to put some money back into it. And that, I think, is just amazing. Anyway, full story. Great people. Thank you for supporting the whole show, full story. I actually met some of them for the first time at the Smashing Conference in New York. And there was the their lead designer there, and I got to have a chat with him. And it was really great because, you know how you work in a bit of a bubble sometimes, don't you? Well, going back to what you were saying, but different kind of bubble. You feel quite isolated as a designer, and you're kind of getting away and you're working on your stuff. And you, of course, when you're working on your own thing, you always think it's crap, don't you? You know, oh, it's terrible. I've done a really bad job. And just being able to speak to this guy who and say, I absolutely love the interface for Full Story, and I could really get excited and say, oh, I love the way you do this and this and that, and you know, all these things about that. And you could really see he was really chuffed to know that, yeah, there are people out there that really appreciate my work and what I do. So I really enjoyed doing that. It was a really nice thing to do. And I've got to say, it was entirely sincere as well. It's one of the easiest to use and understand of all of the analytics or screen recorder tools I've ever used. It's beautifully designed. So if for no other reason to check it out, go and check out the user interface, because it's a very, very complicated thing if you think about what they're doing and what they're trying to present back to you, but they do it in a very, very easy way. And that's especially true when it comes to things like searching. You know, obviously playing a session recorder video back is not complicated, but when it comes to things like trying to work, you know, show me these particular videos, that's quite a complicated user experience, a user interface challenge. So he's done an amazing job at that. You could sign
even
up for,
I can use it, Paul.
Well, there you go. There, that says something. You know. You can sign up today and you can get a free month of the pro account. Absolutely free of charge. No need to enter a credit card. Talking of dark patterns, there is a dark pattern that really pisses me off. When they say, oh, sign up for our free app, right? Enter your credit card, and at the end of the month, we're just going to start charging you because we're hoping you're going to forget to cancel. That really irritates me. So you don't have to do that with Full Story. And then when you get to the end of that free trial, you can still carry on using it for free for up to 1,000 sessions per month. So if you want to try it out, go to fullstory.com/BOAG. Okay.
Nearly there, Paul.
Let's talk. I know. It does feel a bit like that. I don't know why.
End of term.
That's exactly what it feels like. It's really funny, isn't it? Right. Let's leave you with some solid next steps that you can take going out of this season of the podcast, because we're not back until January. And so we don't want you to get bored while we're away. So I'm going to set some homework. This is your homework for Christmas, people. That always annoyed me as well. Teachers set homework over Christmas.
And when you've been away for 6 weeks over the summer holidays and you get back to school, and I was always quite happy going back because, like, see mates you haven't seen for a while. And the first thing you have to do is write a story about what you did on holiday.
Oh God. And yeah, the trouble is, your holiday wasn't that interesting, was it? So yeah, every day was the same. In your case, going out and playing cricket with your mates, and with me, it'll be, you know, sitting in front of a ZX Spectrum. Yeah. I mean, that's a very short story, you know. And so you had to make up some bullshit as well, didn't you?
Oh, totally. Yeah, but I hated things like that. Anyway, yes, I've gone off on
that tangent. The worst one I ever had at Christmas, right? When I was at art college, and they set us an assignment over Christmas to make an art project out of wrapping paper. I know. I felt like I was in bloody primary school.
It would ended up looking like Ling's Car's website, I would have thought, whatever it was, which is actually genius. But there you go.
It is genius, yeah. That it breaks every rule and therefore wins a huge amount of publicity off of the back of it. If you haven't seen Ling's Car, is it Ling's Cars? Yeah. .com. It's worth checking out because it's an abomination of from a web design point of view. But actually, it's got a, it's very misleading because you look at Ling's cards and you think that's oh, it's just some little website. It's a huge business, actually. Yeah,
it is.
I found out a bit about it. They've got a huge operation behind it because people are just fascinated by it. So they've been very, very successful, actually, by breaking every web design rule in the book.
I absolutely love it. It's fantastic.
I can't imagine how you would even order a car on that website. Oh, they've changed it.
Yeah, it's different. It's
still
like,
as bad.
They've made more money. They've kind of made even more of it, but it's done brilliantly.
Oh, that is so terrible.
Oh, I love the Paisley.
Good for them.
It's fantastic.
That's whoever designed that must have had a hell of fun, because one presumes they do grown-up design as well. That is amazing. Anyway, let's move on from that. So yes, next steps. That was it. What can you do? First of all, take the time to get to know your audience. Right. So sit down, talk to a few people, run a survey. You know, run a workshop. Just find out, actually spend some time with real users. Doesn't need to be a lot, anything will do. And then out of that, at least minimal, create some empathy maps, looking at their motivations, what are the users' goals, what are their pain points, what questions do they have, what tasks are they trying to complete, what objections do they have to buying or acting. What influences them in their decision making, and how are they feeling about the process, right? Just get to know them a little bit more. Be very, very clear in your mind about who your audience are. We know all of this stuff. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but let's be honest, we don't do it. You know, I always ask whenever I'm at a conference, whenever I'm at a workshop, I always ask, when's the last time you spent time with users? And people are always embarrassed about how long ago it was, right? And it's normally months and months and months, and that is not good. So I would encourage you just to spend some time getting to know your users.
So, and I would like to add there, Paul, if you can't get to your users, then speak to salespeople and do surveys and stuff like that. Look at analytics.
Customer support staff are another really good one, right?
Yeah.
Then, so you've done that. Then once you've done that, the next thing you've got to do is review your site. Take a step back. Just spend half a day going through your website, right? With that new knowledge of what you've got from your users. It's not rocket science, but again, we're always focused on creating new stuff, the next project, the next thing to do, that we don't step back and review what we have. Take half a day just to review what you've got, and you'll find a whole load of low-hanging fruit, quick, easy fixes to do, right? Stuff
that's very true.
You know, that we talked about on this season, you know, various little techniques, not all of them are difficult, not all of them are cumbersome. You'll find just little things. Oh, maybe we could reword this, or maybe we could move that button here, or just little stuff. Do it. Just, you know, don't put it off. Don't allow that big next project to get in the way of just doing those quick, simple fixes, because it's the best way of improving your conversion rate fast. And then the last little bit of homework is look for ways of integrating testing into your daily process, right? So instead of testing just being this thing that you do in one big bulk at the three quarters of the way through the project or something like that, look for those opportunities to be doing a little bit of testing every week, something. Right. Even if it's just throwing up a mock up in front of a few people on social media, and then maybe once a month running a usability test session. But just have it baked in rather than having it as this kind of extra module that maybe sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. Right. Little bits, a little and often. If you do those three things, if that's all you do out of this season, I promise you, you will increase your conversion rate. So, that is it for this season. I know. It's been
it's
a good
home
one.
Home time.
Home time, yeah. School's out. Woo! First thing you do is take off your school tie, isn't it? That's always the first thing I did. Although Americans, do they don't have school uniforms as much, do they? Some of the kind of some schools do, but not as many. I don't think. I don't know.
I've no idea.
Yeah. Pass. On TV, they never have, but you know, TV. Yeah. although I've been watching a series called American Vandal. Have you seen that on Netflix?
Nope.
Oh dear. I don't know how to describe it. It's a crime drama, really,
right.
Where you have one crime that's being investigated over the whole season, but it's being done by high school students, right? They're making a documentary about a crime that has happened in a school, right? In their school.
Okay.
And the crime is basically someone drew 27 penises on every teacher's car, right? And it's hilariously funny. But anyway, in that, they don't wear school uniforms. So that's what I bet. But in the second season, they go to a different school and
I've been looking for hilariously funny on the telly. Everything's so bloody kind of like serious drama. And it's like,
yeah.
I quite like The Good Place, but that was a little bit. We're talking a TV show now. But, you know, because that's quite lightweight. But yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Paul. I have a TV recommendation.
Yeah, you'll enjoy it. Yeah, you'll enjoy it, I promise. And what's clever about it is, I mean, it takes itself very seriously, but they're talking about drawing penises, you know? And which is hilariously funny. But then it also, right at the end of the... at times, it'll suddenly go quite emotional and quite powerful. I always think good comedy can do that. It can do that switch where suddenly they kind of hit you emotionally. So, yeah, it's really good. Anyway, enough of that. That's yet another tangent. Next season. So
yes,
I think I mentioned
Paul?
This. Yeah, I think I mentioned this before.
You
so
did,
what we're gonna do...
but I can't remember what it is.
Right. So next season, we're going to do a season on which is entitled What Do You Do All Day? Right? And we're going to talk to different people about, you know, what do they practically do on a day-to-day basis? Because there are a lot of these people, especially more senior people in their career, when you think, well, what do they actually do? I mean, people say it about me in my job, right? You know, what do I do on a daily basis? You know, and there's a lot of people like that.
Paul, you fly your drone and I play golf. That's what
exactly.
We do every day.
Every day, exactly. Except for when I'm playing Red Dead. But
Yeah, I'm playing
So that's what we're going to look at next season. So I have no idea who we're going to have guest-wise. I haven't even thought about that yet. But if you've got any suggestions of people that you want to actually know what they do for a living, drop me an email to paul@boagworld.com and I'll see if I can get them on the show, because I think that might be quite funny. And as they've just pointed out in the chat room, the main thing most of them seem to do all day is hang out in our Slack channel. But I'm sure they do something in between as well. So that's what we're going to do next season. I don't know the exact date of when we're going to come back. I'll work that out at some point. It'll be in January at some point, probably the latter half of January by the time we faffed around. In the meantime, don't forget our Boag World virtual Christmas party on Tuesday, the 11th of December. You can find out more about that by going to crowdcast.io/Boag World. You can also join us in the Slack channel, which is boagworld.com/slacking. And finally, there is also a second podcast that I do called Digital Insights, which is essentially just my blog posts in audio format. So if you really desperately can't live without my voice for a few weeks, unfortunately, you don't get Marcus. So
I did like when you commented on Twitter earlier and said, well, yeah, I don't have any waffle on there. I'm thinking, well, you can't really do waffle on your own, can you? That would be really quite odd.
It would
Hello,
be.
Paul,
quite
how
odd.
Are you today? Oh, I went down to the end of the garden and thought about my life and stuff like that.
How did you know that's what I did today? Amazing. So, Marcus, do you have a joke to round off the season with?
I do. Courtesy of Bruce Lawson, Saint Bruce Lawson. My girlfriend hates it when I mess with her red wine. I added some fruit and orange juice. Now she's sangrier than ever.
Oh! I tell you what, talking of Bruce, when I was at Smashing Conference, I won't tell it as a proper joke because you'll know it's a joke, and I didn't know this was going to be a joke, right? But he said to me, oh, isn't it terrible news about that that actress getting stabbed? And I said,
done this to me.
What actress? Oh, you know, Reese. What's the second name, Reese? And I said, what, Reese Witherspoon? No, she got stabbed with a knife. With a spoon.
Yes, he's done that to me as well.
Did he really? It's his go-to joke at the moment. Yeah. He just so got me. Completely got me. That wraps up this season. Thank you very much for joining us. I hope you found it useful. I hope you enjoy it. And I hope you'll join us for the next season starting in January. But for now, thanks for listening and goodbye. Butt Rats.com.